What does Coachella have in its words? Hell. And that's what Tom and Ari are putting me through by doing this.
Totally. It was all code words for something else. Boombox.
Boom.
Box.
Box. What is box a word for other than vagina?
Exactly. Boom in the box.
Yeah.
In my backyard. Are you guys kidding me right now?
I am the devil, and don't you forget it.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Pumpcast. I'm Maddie Drosbeck.
And I'm Meg Ruoco.
And we have something major to discuss that I'm actually
chomping
at the bit about, because I've restrained myself from asking Meg questions about this and until we were on mic.
It's been like, I think, like 2 weeks.
Which is unbelievable. I happened to be going out of town.
Yeah.
Like right after Meg had this moment.
Yes.
And we've saved it until this moment.
Yeah. This was so lucky girl syndrome, I think, where it's like sometimes things just happen in the universe where you're like, this is a sign.
I was meant to be here.
Yeah.
I was meant to be in this room.
In this room right now. So I started a new job recently, which has been fantastic. I absolutely love it. And one of the things that I'm doing is like producing and directing some video series for this company. And, you know, I've like started, things have been kind of being handed off to me and that sort of a thing. And, you know, we're looking at the production calendar of these video series and who's coming on these series in the next coming weeks. And I see a name on the production calendar and it's like tentative in talks. And it's the one and only Miss Lisa Vanderpump.
Chills. Do you understand? Chills up and down my spine when Meg told me this. I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the room, in the flesh,
with Lisa Vanderpump.
Directing Lisa Vanderpump. Like, truly, that's more exciting than, like, meeting the Pope.
I genuinely... Like, who gives a fuck about the Pope?
I actually don't know. If I saw the Pope walking down the street, wouldn't know a thing.
No,
I would not know that man.
I truly could not clock him.
That's every white man that I grew up with.
He could be my neighbor. Yeah. I would not know.
I don't know. But Lisa Vanderpump, oh. I can clock her from a mile away.
Oh, I know that lady.
Absolutely.
And I admire her work. Her work for evil and for good.
And it was this like thing where it was like tentative for so long. So I was like not sure if it was going to happen, whatever. And then it all came together. And I learned like 24 hours before it happened that I was going to be directing Lisa for this, like, for this shoot. And I was like, what?
So cool. Like, literally so fucking cool.
So crazy.
And also, it was just so crazy because you just started this job.
No, I know.
And for it to be, like, one of your, like, it's like you start this new job. It's like, okay, first day on the job, we'd like to present you with Lisa Vanderpump. It's like, it actually couldn't be more perfect for you. Yes. Specifically.
Yes. It was 3 weeks into the job. And they were like, so we're going to bring Lisa Vanderpump in. And I was like,
oh,
who?
Oh, you'd like to present me with the queen on week 3?
Like,
we're sending you straight to the top.
Like, that's what it felt like.
Felt like I was in like America's Next Top Model or something. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I fully had to dissociate from the fact that we do a Vanderpump rewatch podcast every week. And then I was like directing Lisa Vanderpump because I straight up, I was like, I won't be able to like talk to her or look her in the eye. Like I've like dissected this woman on the internet at length and I will continue to for years to come.
For the next 5 years.
But yeah, and so, you know, I'm like, I'm on the email thread of like her team and whatever, being like, yeah, sounds great at this place for this time and whatever. And they're like, who's all coming for the shoot? And they were like, well, it'll be Lisa and her publicist and then Ken and their dog Donut. And I went, no.
Not Ken Todd in the room also.
Ken Todd, who I arguably spoke to more than Lisa on the day.
That is crazy. Meg, I actually can't even believe this. Like, I can't even picture inside my head you talking to Ken.
No, it was, and Ken and I like had some little banter back and
forth.
That
like, it feels like a dream that I once had.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was a wee girl, I dreamt of a moment like this where I saw my friend Meg speaking to an old man. I didn't know who it was at the time, but now. I feel totally sure that it was Ken.
It was Ken Todd. It was so crazy. They came in for this shoot, which of course was, you know, maximum 15 minutes long. It was like so quick. 'Cause she is now, of course, promoting like Vanderpump Villa season 3. So mm-hmm. she's on her tear, and her and Ken walk in. They are so small. They're both the smallest people you've ever seen in your entire life. Yeah. They're tiny.
Wow. I mean, Ken does seem small.
Yeah.
So I guess I would assume that Lisa was also small, but yeah. For whatever reason, I just view him as like a Polly Pocket and her like a Barbie doll.
Yeah. Ken is kind of like a little like yassified Bilbo Baggins.
No fucking way.
And I stand by that.
Whoa.
he's pretty little. And so same with Lisa. And they walked in with Donut, who was in like a bejeweled,
incredible,
I believe like bejeweled kind of like chest collar.
Okay.
We kind of jokingly were like, oh, does Donut want to be part of the interview? And then Donut was a part of the interview. Donut sat on
Donut
Lisa's
did want to be a part of the interview.
Did want to be a part of it. He sat on Lisa's lap the entire time.
Donut was like, well, if you're offering.
And then that's when Ken and I had our little banter, because he was like, well, Donut's rate has gone up quite a bit.
Imagine like I can't even fathom hearing. I wished that I could have been in this room and witnessed it.
genuinely, and if I had been working at this company for even a month longer, I might have honestly been like, can my friend Maddie come?
Me in the corner just watching.
I'm gonna be normal. I'll
like,
be normal.
I'm mic'd up in the corner like we were at the Tom Sandoval trivia night. I'm like, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just in the corner talking to myself.
The craziest part about this now is that since we have started the Vanderpump podcast, we have between us been in a room with 3 Vanderpump cast members.
That's kind of weird when
that's
you think about
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Hey, that's a little weird.
So it was insane. Ken and I had like a back and forth about the dog's day rate.
Okay, obsessed.
Because I was like, oh, what's the day rate now? And he goes, 2 bones.
2 bones.
And then I was like, oh, that we can do. And he goes, and $50,000.
2 bones.
2 bones.
2 bones. Put it on a hat right now.
Two bones. Insane. Lisa, of course, like is so charming and so easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like she's like a master at this. So she was like, you know, she was giving us little sound bites and little like clippable moments and whatever.
Love it.
Ken, during her interview, did fall asleep.
The range that this man brings to every room he's in. Like he's just, you never know what you're going to get out of that guy.
And Lisa was like, Kenny.
He's like, ugh. Sorry.
My apologies.
I can just picture him like open mouth snoring. Lisa's like, Ken.
She's like, Ken, are you asleep over there?
Up.
So yeah, Ken did fall asleep. Pandora called her on FaceTime. She FaceTimed her during the interview.
Now that seems like a Tom Sandoval move. Like
totally.
When he told Jax to FaceTime him during the trivia night.
Yes.
Like, do you think it was organic or planted?
I think genuinely it was fully organic. Because
okay, interesting.
Lisa seemed like straight up annoyed that Pandora was calling.
Why is she
her.
Calling me?
Like she answered it and she was like, Pandy, I'm on the air right now. Like I can't do it right now. And she like held up her phone to everybody being like, here, Pandora,
oh,
look, I'm
God.
On set. And I was like, this is the best day of my life. I was like, this is incredible. She handed me her bag so I could hand it to somebody else.
That's incredible.
I was like, wow, the icon that you are.
You've touched the handle of Lisa Vanderpump's bag.
And the entire time I was sitting there being like, how do I work in the fact that I'm on a fucking Vanderpump Rules rewatch podcast?
How do I say something here?
Unfortunately, that opportunity never came.
But I firmly believe that it was the first meeting of many.
Oh, absolutely.
I genuinely believe that by the end of this experience, we'll have been,
for sure,
we'll have been repeat bartenders on Watch What Happens Live.
You know what? We're manifesting it.
We're manifesting it. Come on.
Come on. Andy Cohen's going to love us. Lisa Vanderpump's going to love us. Jax Taylor, probably not going to love us.
He's not going
to
love
us. But that's
probably
okay. We don't need to be loved by everyone. Accepting my haters, Jax Taylor being one of them.
Accepting haters. And sometimes Jax Taylor is a part of that category.
Wishing for our downfall.
Yeah. So that,
that's okay,
genuinely blew my mind. And it was also like an impossible thing to explain to my coworkers who also are like new to me, right, as a person, to be like, you guys have no idea what this means to me. And everyone's like, okay,
so what does it mean to you? You're like, this goes deep, dude. You do not get it.
Like, you do not understand. And I'm like trying to be cool in front of my coworkers, but also I'm like totally just freaking out.
Totally.
And they're like, and they're like, okay, yeah, for sure. It was madness. It was bliss. I mean, it was everything I could possibly want it to be and more.
I'm like so happy for you.
And soon it will be the two of us.
So true.
I think if anything, this cemented for me that we do need to have Ken on the pod.
That he's got things to tap into.
Ken,
we've
Ken's
been underestimating
mind,
him.
Ken's mind is sharp. His body might be moving slow, but his mind is sharp as a tack.
God, love that guy.
I love him. I love him. And we have to have Donut on the show as well.
Yeah.
A dog named Donut is just awesome.
For sure.
It's just so awesome. Yeah. So I met fucking Lisa Vanderpump and Ken Todd. And
the
it
gossip queen himself.
I couldn't believe my mind or my eyes or my ears. And this is not the only Vanderpump person that we've had interactions with over the past like 2 weeks.
Which is kind of crazy.
Because
we didn't pay for this.
We didn't pay for this. The queen herself commented on one of our TikToks.
Unbelievable.
Stassi Schroeder. Diva.
Diva. Come
we
on
love
now.
We she commented on one of our TikToks where it's our dear, amazing friend Jessie talking about how Jax Taylor is the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And Stassi commented and was like, no, I'm literally dead.
Which is insane. And that's the second Vanderpump cast member to comment on that TikTok, because Katie commented on it like a month ago.
Yes.
We never talked about that on the show.
No, I know. We never, we just like geeked out over that on privately.
We've had an insane couple weeks over here.
Life just keeps getting better and better and better. And I just think it's all coming up us.
For sure. It's all coming up us.
So this is all to say, Lisa, Ken, Stassi, and Katie, we would love to have you on the pod.
Would love to have you on the pod.
Anytime.
Offers standing perpetually
to
forever.
Talk about anything. We don't even have to talk about Vanderpump.
No, we don't have to. We could talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Literally whatever, we're down.
Those episodes more turn into a case study on us.
Yeah. Oh.
How do we react when put in the room of people that we've psychoanalyzed?
That we are like doing a deep character analysis every week on.
Can we be normal in a room with Lisa Vanderpump?
Well,
me thinks no. In a totally separate vein.
Yeah.
I was visiting my grandma for the past week and my parents were there for the first couple days. And we were sitting on the couch watching TV. My grandma loves watching Westerns.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Go for
it. So she had a Western on and I'm sort of on my phone. I'm not really paying attention. The credits roll. Guess who's the first name on that screen? None other than Steve McQueen. And I was like, Steve McQueen, I know that guy. I'm like, he's supposed to be a really good guy to look up to, allegedly. And my dad was like, no, yeah, Steve McQueen, he's huge. He's a really big deal. And then my dad goes, actually, I take it back. Fuck Steve McQueen, give me Paul Newman. He's got those salad dressings. And I said, what the fuck are we talking about? Hey, what the fuck are we on about now?
So we're actually doing different stuff, you and me. Like, we're talking about different stuff. We're doing different stuff, and that's fine, but you got to be over there.
My dad was like, Steve McQueen, fuck that guy. If we're talking iconic Western actors that you can look up to as a man, go for Paul Newman because he has a line of salad dressings.
What do the salad dressings have to do with Paul Newman being a man to look up to? What do you think, audience?
Like,
answer us now in real time.
But I was like, this is a crazy interaction that somehow I need to bring to the Pumpcast, because I'm like, the lore just goes so deep. We go Stassi's dad to Jax Taylor to our brains to my grandma, to my dad to salad dressing.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Everything, nothing is a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget that.
Nothing is a coincidence. Everything is a sign.
We're coming out with a salad dressing.
And when you said ready, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Sometimes you just got to get the people up rolling. Yeah. It's like I imagined us on a dance floor and we're like starting with the fist pump down
totally.
Low. And we're rolling up.
You and I would
like
be
a rude sandstorm.
Yeah, you and I would be amazing bar mitzvah dancers.
Totally.
Whoa.
Okay, get me in there. You turn on like a G6, you won't know what hit ya.
Fuck. Somebody to Love remix with Usher.
Whoa.
Fuck, dude.
Totally. I'm doing interpretive dance in the back and your grandma's loving it.
So we're at Villa Rosa and Katie and Sheena are there in the backyard. Katie is on an insane swing. Mm.
This is one of my favorite episode openings, I think.
It's so awesome. Katie's on an insane, it feels like you're looking at a dream.
Yeah.
Katie's on an insane swing. Sheena is doing like a back hand.
A back bend.
A back bend into like a turnover, whatever the fuck. And Katie's like, that's got to be bad for your ankle.
Because Sheena still has it wrapped. And she's like, oh, it's fine. I just have it wrapped, so I'm aware of it. Aware of what, if it's fine?
Aware of what?
Hey, so it's fine, but I just need to keep it wrapped to be aware of it.
What does that mean?
But it's fine.
But it's fine.
So what are we aware of? That you have an ankle?
Like, I just have to be aware that I have an ankle.
I just got to know that it's there, but I am going to do round off back handsprings on it because it's fine.
Because it's fine, but also...
But also it's still wrapped and I'm still
and awareness is important. It's ankle awareness week. Right, it's my ankle awareness week.
Sheena's ankle awareness week.
Everyone, be aware.
Sheena has an ankle.
Sheena has an ankle.
It's just like a crazy...
It's insane.
Intro to an episode.
I also just love it because it's so emblematic of like who Sheena is as a person. Because even in this like very relaxed moment, she like still feels the need to show off and do like a back bend. Like she was so the kid at like a sleepover or whatever, being like, I can do the cartwheel.
Uh-huh.
Or like, I can actually do the splits. And then would like show everybody the splits and everyone would be like, cool. Yeah.
It's also so funny sometimes watching these episodes because this is being filmed in like... 2013, 2014 at this point, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was still in high school at that time. Yeah. And so I associate that fashion with high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I have these moments where I look at what they're wearing and I'm like, I can't believe 20 and 30 somethings were dressing like this. Looking at Sheena specifically, I just felt like her outfit was giving high school cheerleader on their way to practice.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know like what if it was like the context of the fact that they were kind of like playing in the backyard or like what it was, but they both just looked like so young in this scene.
And maybe it's also the fact that Katie is sitting on a mega oversized swing. So she looks like just a tiny child on this huge swing.
Right. But they look so childlike.
They do.
In this opening scene. And it is so funny to watch. Mm-hmm. It's always, I think, really funny to watch all of the Sur employees, especially in the early seasons, like contextualized within the world of Villa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really like puts into perspective just how... removed they are from like the wealth and success that they actually want.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Like they walk into Lisa's home and they're all kind of like kind of white trash a little bit. Yeah,
totally. Compared to Lisa.
Compared
absolutely.
To Lisa, for sure. They're like, they're just like normal people, but they just like aren't millionaires.
Right.
Yeah. So they're like, whoa.
This is crazy.
Right. Let me get on that swing.
Right.
Okay. And a bunch of other people roll up. Jeremy rolls up. Peter and Tom roll up, as well as Lisa. And they start discussing. I don't know why they're having this meeting
all of them just in Lisa's backyard, just like standing around. But it's impossible to say. Maybe Lisa just like didn't want them in her house. But they're talking about another Pride float.
We've made it.
We are
to our
here.
Second Pride episode.
Pride is here.
They are just powwowing on what the theme for their float is going to be this year.
Yeah.
And what the vibe is going in.
Yeah.
Now, last year, if you'll remember, the float was a little janky.
Yeah.
It was essentially just like pink fur staple gunned to a back of a pickup shittily.
Right. But this year, it's going to be big.
This year, it's going to be bigger, better, and a little cherub-like.
Yeah, sexier than ever, but also holy.
Yeah. Mommy don't know daddy's getting hot.
That's what's happening right now.
That's really good. And Lisa's like, I'm just thinking about it right now off the top of my head. And like, what if it was angels? Angel wings.
Angels.
And they're all like, yeah, maybe. I don't know about that. And then Kevin Lee, the event guy, comes in with six pairs of angel wings. And he's like, I have the wings for you all to try on right now. So the theme for this Pride float is angels.
Mm-hmm.
And the men are not super happy about this.
Tom Sandoval immediately tries to like subtly get them to move away from the angel wings. He's like, oh, it's going to be really hard to like move around on the moving float with those. Like, we're going to be hitting into each other.
Yeah.
Rah, that's going to be really hard. And Lisa is like, you'll get over it. And he's like, he really like immediately lets on to the fact that that was not the reason. He just personally did not want to wear angel wings.
Yeah, because Tom does support the gay community, but oh my god, if someone even considers him to be gay, he will kill you and then himself.
Which is insane for a man who gets his eyebrows threaded.
And is gay.
I'm like, I can't. This guy literally removes every hair on his body.
Like, I've never seen a clearer example of like a closeted gay man who mocks things so openly right. that he so clearly just wants to be a part of.
I couldn't possibly be gay.
I'm not freaking gay.
I just really love waxing my whole body and wearing mascara.
Yeah.
Let me live.
But I love fucking chicks.
Don't I look like a type?
And he's like shiny because he has no body hair on him.
Unbelievable.
It's like, okay. And as they're kind of talking about what this float is going to look like and what the Pride Day is going to be like, you know, Lisa's talking about how it's going to be bigger, it's going to be grander, it's going to be sexier, there's going to be dancers. And Sheena kind of mockingly turns to Katie and is like, yeah, maybe you and Stassi can do your burlesque dance again. And Katie doesn't really say anything. And then Lisa turns to Sheena and is like, actually, Sheena, I was thinking I would love for you to sing your song. And her face lights up.
Sheena's immediately like, oh, me? That would just be perfect. You know, the gays love my song.
She goes, my song's huge in that gay community.
They love it. It cuts to a confessional of Tom Sandoval saying, Sheena, you performed in a gay bar in Chicago one time. You are not Lady Gaga. Let her live, Tom.
Let her fucking live.
Okay, she's performing on a Pride float. This is huge for her. And this by performing, huge. We mean singing against the track.
And against is really key there. It's really a
fighting in song against the track.
Tooth and nail, but she doesn't have a tooth, so it's just nail.
Fighting toothless and nailless and footless and armless against the track.
Against the track. Popping her booty, as it were. Okay. So, boof. The boys are bike riding. Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
I didn't notice this on first watch, but on second watch, I'm like, they really have them be doing anything.
Anything.
In the bro scenes, yes. It's like they're at this mysterious park just doing push-ups on like poles. And then they're, you know, at a gym doing kind of nothing. Just look at each other in the mirror like, and now they're riding bikes around like fucking middle schoolers chasing the ice cream man. Like, what are these 30-something-year-old men doing riding bikes like this?
It's because they don't have any fucking money.
It's just like, it makes no sense.
Any money.
They like pull out the cameras. They're like, what do you guys want to do today? They're like, ride bikes? Sick. Did you do a wheelie in the corner? I got my pegs so that Schwartz can ride on the back of me.
It's going to be sick.
It's going to be so cool.
Have you guys heard of ripped sticks? They're really in right now.
God, they make my calves burn like hell.
When
I'm ripping through the neighborhood so fast,
you can't even see me coming.
If I go down a hill, I'm pretty much just as fast as a car.
Totally. You guys don't want to see me when I bring my penny board.
Like, he fucking cannot.
I'm so sick and tired of them. And they're biking around and they're covering the fact that, as we'll recall from last week, Jax maybe probably definitely had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This week, it's determined that it is in fact just a fatty cyst.
Or brief cancer, as they call it.
Or brief cancer.
Momentary cancer.
A flash of cancer.
It's just like, it's this very rare form of cancer that only Jax Taylor has had, where you only have it for like 5 days and then it just becomes a cyst.
Yeah. And Tom is like, yeah, I never thought that he actually had cancer.
We really weren't concerned.
We knew that he was fine. But Jax is talking about how this brief stint with almost cancer changed his life.
Yeah.
And it made him really consider and reconsider his relationship with Stassi, and that life is too short life to chase after somebody like
totally
that.
Totally. It's way too short.
And
to...
so now he's gotta go out and just screw all of Las Vegas.
Yeah. Wait. Sure, Las Vegas too. Las Angeles, Las Vegas, Phoenix.
All the losses.
Seattle, all of the West Coast cities.
Jax Taylor is coming to your city.
Oh my God. How terrifying.
So scary.
I also think it's so funny because they like pull over their bikes to the side of the road and Sandoval presents them all with alcohol and brown bags.
Yes.
Like they literally are middle schoolers being like, guys, I got something sick in my backpack for us. Look what I got. Four Locos. Like, but they're literally in the 30s.
Even the way that Tom like stops his bike, he like skids into a stop. He's like, like, hey guys, check out what I got for you. Little surprise. It's like beers in a can in a brown bag. And Schwartz briefly makes a toast to Jax's health. Just like, okay.
Thank God.
And they then get on the topic of gay pride.
Which this is so funny because before Tom Sandoval starts this conversation, he has to rip his shirt off to be like, oh, before we start talking about gay stuff, let me just and he like rips his shirt off. He's like, oh, now that I'm feeling sufficiently manly, let's talk about the gay pride parade and how pissed I am about these angel wings.
And the camera at one point like zooms in on his shirt on the bike handle. Like the camera people need you to know that like what he is doing is ridiculous. Where he's like, before we talk about all that gay shit. And it's like, Tom, you look gayer doing that.
Enough.
Respectfully to the gay community, you look super gay when you do that.
So what?
Because why are you taking off your shirt?
He's so funny.
He's
like,
so
for
funny.
Someone who has an aversion to queerness, he is one of the gayest straight people I've ever seen.
He is such a fucking diva. Like, it's like you are obsessed with like the aesthetic of the queer
totally.
Community. Like, what is going on? And they start talking about the fact that Sheena's going to be performing, and Tom just like, Tom is such a fucking hypocrite because all he wants is to be a star.
Yep.
And anytime anyone expresses that interest as well, he's like, what a loser for even trying.
Yeah.
And so they start talking about the fact that Sheena's going to perform and they're like ragging on Sheena's song and they're ragging on like the dance that she does for her song. And then Schwartz is like, oh, Tom does a great impression of Sheena's dance. Do it, Tom. And then Tom's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then Schwartz is like, do it. And he's like, okay. And then he gets off of his bike and he is gleeful. He
totally.
Is absolutely beaming to be doing this dance that Sheena does. He is like bending over and twerking and doing the splits and shaking his ass, pretending to like mock Sheena. And it's like, you just want to do this.
Totally.
You just are jealous that Sheena's doing this.
And I always think it's so funny when men do this because I think that they think that we can't tell that they just want to do that.
Yes. But yeah, it's like they you think see they're it,
fooling us.
Right. You see it a lot on TikTok with like just getting to mm-hmm. reuse the amount of men that will like mockingly do something that a woman has done on TikTok or like a trend that women are doing online, and then a man will jump on the trend
yes.
and do it mockingly
yeah.
because they have to do it in a mocking way because that's the only way that they can get away with doing it and still be seen as like cool and funny by other men.
Yes.
It's like, you just wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You just wanted to do the little dance.
Right.
You just wanted, and the fact that like his impression of Sheena in the choreography is pretty on par
yep.
to the point where it looks like maybe he took an afternoon out to just learn the choreography.
Yeah.
I think you just wanted to learn the dance.
I think maybe you just wanted to be a part of it.
You just wanted to be a backup dancer, and that's okay.
That's okay.
You can say that. You can just say, I love that little dance Sheena did. I spent an afternoon watching videos and taught myself a little bit.
Yeah. Because you're repeating a lot of the moves beat for beat.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vinted. I feel like I am in a constant state of trying to clean out my wardrobe and make space in my apartment. These New York closets are no joke. You've really got to be choosy about what clothes you're bringing in and what pieces have got to go. And Vinted really came into my life at the exact right time because Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday sellers, people like you and me, to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money in the process. When I'm cleaning out my closet, whether it's because an item doesn't quite fit me right anymore or it's just not my style, I always feel better about moving on knowing that my pre-loved clothes are going to be loved again by someone else. My own personal rule is that if a full year, all four seasons pass me by and I don't go to reach for an item of clothing, it's going on Vinted. It's super easy to list your clothes and there's absolutely no selling fees, so you keep everything that you earn. It feels so good to have a less cluttered closet and successfully close my drawers without shoving things in, crossing my fingers, and just hoping that they fit. And Vinted is free to download. So not only are there no seller fees and you get to keep everything that you earn, but the app is completely free to download. It's so simple. Once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. You literally have no excuse not to sign up and start listing your pre-loved items on Vinted today. See what's hiding in your closet. You might be surprised how much you can earn with Vinted. Download the Vinted app for free to start listing with no seller fees.
He just wanted to be on stage. He literally just wanted to be on stage. And the guys, of course, are like, oh, yeah, she totally looks like that. It's so stupid when she does it, but it's cool when you do it.
Right.
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 Okay. Okay. Once again, it's like, just have sex with each other and get it over with.
Which I also, like, when I go back and watch a season like this, I have to wonder, like, from Ariana's perspective. How does watching, like, I wish I could have been inside her head watching this season air back.
Yeah.
Because you would think that maybe watching this man that you're flirting with
mm-hmm.
make fun of your bestie would yeah. maybe be a deterrent, but I guess not.
And at the same time, I think that Ariana really was like, fell victim to the I'm not like other girls.
Yeah, totally.
In the syndrome early in the early seasons, like she became pretty insufferable in the early seasons, and like I could totally see her being like, yeah, it is stupid the girls dance. You know,
right? Even though she was also in the dance, so
right.
It's like
she danced.
Tom
too
was also making fun of her, I
right
guess.
Yeah, his like very good friend Ariana,
right, who was also on stage with Sheena.
Yeah, so what is it about Sheena specifically that like makes it bad? Would love to know.
They hate to see a diva winning.
They literally hate to see a diva winning. They hate to see a diva successful. Okay, so boof. We're at Sir
for another staff meeting. And everyone's very nervous because you know scared. How the last staff meeting went.
Cut to that.
Poof. Poof. Ah! Laura Lee smash!
And you didn't even go around one time, and I didn't even do it once. And you said it one time, and we didn't even say once. And I just say once, and you were a good friend, and I was a bad friend. And you didn't say once.
I literally never even talked to you. Like, I literally, that was one shift, and I don't even really care, and whatever. Go eat the leftovers, queen. But luckily, Laura Lee is filming War of the Millers at this point, so right. She's not there.
Luckily, she's super famous and best friends with Jennifer Aniston, so none of it matters.
Laura Lee, what your career could have been if Emma Roberts hadn't stolen your part.
Boof, boof,
boof. Oh, Emma Roberts, when we get you.
I live in the timeline where Laura Lee did get the bigger role.
100%.
That's where I live. Ate. It happened for us.
And she ate. Yes. And she ended up getting picked up, and she was in Anora.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Picture that.
The timeline
where Laura Lee
played Anora
wins an Oscar for being in Anora. Oscar.
Mikey Madison did not win. Laura Lee.
It was Laura Lee.
And it was based on her real life experiences.
I'm rewriting history. I'm rewriting Sean
Baker
story.
You made a big mistake.
Okay, so everyone is at this the staff meeting, and it's a real weird kind of start to the staff meeting.
Yeah.
Because it ends up becoming about Pride. But Lisa starts by saying, like, well, everybody, Ariana's here now.
Right. It seems like she's going to start talking about this, like,
the, like, beef.
Gossip and beef that's been running through Sir about Ariana, Tom, and Kristen.
Right.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't. She's just like, so?
So, Ariana's here. Everybody clap.
And everyone's like, okay, Ariana's here. And like at one point she's like, and Tom, you've worked with Ariana and there have been no problems. And Tom's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, let's talk about Pride.
And that's it, I guess.
Like, okay.
So then we get into talking about gay pride, the float, how she doesn't want any nonsense like last year. Mm-hmm. None of the drinking, fighting, mm-hmm. random beefing with each other out of her sunscreen, and how applying sunscreen is cheating on the float.
Right.
And she says that she needs a volunteer to stay back at Sir and hold down the fort while everyone else is on the float.
And it's the most thinly veiled request, because Jax immediately is like, I'll stay back, because he doesn't want to wear wings and also be perceived as gay. And Lisa's like, no, I need you out there because you're a big, beefy muscle man, and I need all the men out there, like, shaking their ass for gay pride. And Lisa says something to the effect of, like, well, if no one volunteers, then maybe I'll just pick the person who's caused me the most trouble lately.
And Kristen's like, well, if it's going to be me, just make it me. It's like, oh, it's going to be me. Just vote. Just vote. I know I'm going to be out, so just vote. This is literally what Kristen Doughty does.
Just vote. Oh, also, the wave of feedback that we've gotten that it's Doughty.
I literally could give less of a shit. The reason why I say Doughty is because I know someone who pronounces that same writing
as Doughty.
So I think in my head, because I know someone else with that last name who pronounces it differently, I just automatically say that. Doughty.
Whatever. It's cool, baby.
Doughty. Fine.
Anyway, Kristen Doughty is making a sacrifice and staying behind for gay pride. And Jax pretty much immediately starts to complain about having to wear the wings on the float. And watching the show back, I feel like I am so much more attuned to, like, when something was a plant to, like, provide information or not as, like, a plot point, because for literally no reason at all, Christina Kelly is like, I know why you don't want to take off your shirt, Jax. It's because of your new ink. Like, she had not spoken at all in this scene yet, and then says that, and Lisa's like, what does that mean? What do you mean, new ink? And Jax is like, oh, I got a new tattoo. And she's like, well, see, pop the shirt off. And he, like, takes his shirt off, and it's that big, you know, awful koi tattoo or whatever. And Christina Kelly or someone is like, that's not all he got tattooed. And then, like, Jax has to, like, reveal the Stassi tattoo to Lisa. And it's like, okay, I guess now Lisa knows.
And Lisa's like, that's cute.
Yeah.
Lisa, what? what?
Get a grip, girl. Get a grip, Lisa.
It's just, like, so funny to me how she never will defend the women.
No.
Jax fully has, like, been the worst to Stassi. In last week's episode, she's telling Stassi to be more understanding of his fake cancer.
Yep.
And now she sees that Jax got her name tattooed.
Yeah.
Which is really a pretty manipulative thing for him to do in the first place.
So manipulative.
And she's like, oh, cute.
Yeah.
Lisa.
Girl.
I was talking to my friend the other day. This is kind of tangential, but I think a very interesting point that she brought up, which is because Stassi now is on like Vanderpump Villa and she's like more linked with Lisa again. But like part of her job in Vanderpump Villa is to kind of like be, I guess, like a sort of like mentor and like person that all the young people will go to in Vanderpump. Like her whole job is to just feed information to Lisa, but then also to like help the cast that's there. And my friend brought up a really good point that she was like, I wonder if part of why Stassi is taking that role on now is because she's doing the thing that she wished she had when she was young and on Vanderpump Rules that she never got from Lisa.
Interesting.
Like being an older woman who could support a younger woman and like uplift them rather than being like, well, you just got to do what the men want you to do. Right. Like, and I was like, that is so fascinating because I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I have no context. I've never seen Vanderpump Villa, so I don't know how she treats the younger women on the show. But I just thought it was so fascinating because I was like, yeah, I imagine that that could be really healing.
Totally.
To kind of be in the space and be the person that you so desperately needed when you were young and you were 24 and like everyone was telling you that you were in the wrong when really it was this horrible man who was treating you so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And now she has the opportunity to like be that support for someone else. I was like, I just find that really fascinating.
That is really interesting.
Yeah. And I just, it was this moment too, where I was like, God, yeah. At just every single turn, Lisa just lets Stassi down.
I know.
In these early seasons.
And like, I really just feel like it's, I feel like a lot of times people see like a bolder, louder, unapologetically confident young woman like Stassi is. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I feel like everyone's committed to putting down divas like her.
Yes.
Like real divas with big personalities and they're loud and imperfect, but they own it.
Yep.
I just feel like people are off put by those personality types for some reason.
Yeah. And even those women are off put. Put off by it. Like Stassi and Sheena do not like each other because arguably they have very similar characteristics.
Totally.
They're both divas who just want to own it.
Yep.
And instead are like put down by other people constantly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's like, yeah, very much so like people want to put their light under a bushel type thing. And I think I'm glad, I guess, that like Stassi ultimately is kind of too smart for that and was able to like work her way around that in her life.
It also always reads to me as people who think that like women like Stassi don't ever need reassurance because they already think highly of themselves.
Totally.
Where it's like, oh, someone like Stassi couldn't possibly need to be reassured that, you know, her ex-boyfriend doing XYZ or speaking to her such and such a way isn't her fault. Yeah. Even though she's the one that's putting Jax in his place and screaming at him 9 times out of 10. I think sometimes people assume that women like that don't need support or softness or sweetness because that's not how she necessarily moves through the world externally.
Right.
But I fear that most of the time they're actually the people that need it the most.
I agree.
Because they don't get shown that often.
I agree. I think that a lot of times they are kind of, like pushed to the side in favor for people who are more expressive about what it is that they need. And in fact, I would argue that Stassi, especially in season 1, was like very vocal about her need for friends and friendship and support. And like,
they thought that she was being a high maintenance diva, just making shit up for attention.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
you don't believe the divas when they tell you what they're feeling.
God.
Justice for the divas.
Justice for the divas. Justice for our girl Stassi. Like, she deserves better.
Yeah.
She deserves better. She deserves justice. Anyway, so
Kristen ends up volunteering to be the person who stays back.
Yes.
For Sir on the float. And it's like, okay, perfect. That's sorted. Lisa then goes on to break the news on the angel wings to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Jax, having known about this because Tom Sandoval told him, is immediately like, all right, Lisa, we got to talk about this because I don't want to wear all that.
And Lisa's like, too bad. Like, you're going to wear it.
She's literally like, I don't give a single fuck that you don't want to wear these angel wings, Jax.
Yeah.
You're going to wear them.
You're going to wear them.
Show off your new little tattoos.
Yep.
and we're all going to have a great time at Gay Pride.
Yep.
So get on those angel wings, sister.
And Ariana leans over to Sheena and is like, is this what it's like here all the time?
Yes.
Yes, girl. And soon unfortunately, you'll be more a part of it. So boof. We're back at Villa Rosa and they are
Villa Rosa
building a float and it looks pretty bad again.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing of just like staple gunning fabric. At least this fabric's a little bit more moldable than the like rug that they had last time. Yes. So they could at least make it appear flat.
Yep. And there's like kind of an element of like featheriness to it. So there's a little bit more texture going on, which is nice. But in terms of like production value, we're still pretty low, I would say.
For sure.
Ken and Stassi, for whatever reason, are talking about the outfit that Stassi's going to wear. And Stassi's like, Ken, did you get me a good outfit? And Ken, which, like, why is that Ken's job?
But, like, he did.
But he did. And he goes, yeah, it's an old-fashioned floozy outfit. And she's like, in a talking head, she's like, I'm very offended. I consider myself to be a thoroughly modern floozy.
It's
which
just
is funny.
It's so silly, though, that Ken is the one like, buying Stassi a special outfit.
Yeah, like
why?
Why does she get this
why?
Special
question
outfit?
Mark.
Such a big question. And Lisa brings up freaking Ariana again.
Executive producer Lisa. We see you there, queen.
She's like, I know what the drama is.
She is at work. And I just fucking, oh, I love her. I love how she flips things where she's like, they're all sitting there talking. She's like, so does anyone have any issues with Ariana bringing it up again for like the umpteenth time? And Stassi's like, what is this? Like, there's nothing. Katie's like, yeah, what? This is 3 years ago.
Right.
And Stassi starts to explain to Lisa that this came from Tom having an overly invested friendship and with Ariana. And Kristen felt uncomfortable, didn't know her, felt really intimidated by their friendship. And she had asked people to spy on them at Villa Blanca, but nothing really came of it. This was, again, 3 years ago. So it's kind of old news at this point. And Lisa obviously asked this question and kicked up this whole conversation.
Right.
So Stassi's talking, Katie's talking, Peter's talking, everyone's sort of involved in this conversation. And then immediately when everyone starts talking, Lisa's like, what are you doing? Get back to stapling. No, no, no. No more talking and yip-yapping. Get back to work.
Girl, what?
You asked the question,
you
sister.
You did this. You started this. You started this whole class discussion, and now here we are.
She's like, you can only gossip if I'm interested, and the second I'm not interested, you're breaking the rules. Get back to work.
Which, honestly, fair. Like, same.
It's like,
same.
I mean, I guess that's how a lot of authority figures treat things.
I guess.
Like, your teacher wants to goof off and
yeah, until they
talk.
Don't.
Yeah, until they're like, back to work. Do the worksheets. Focus.
Literally it's exactly like, how it feels.
Queen, you're the one who distracted me.
Right.
We were giggling 2 seconds ago and now you're yelling at me to focus. Like, I fucking, can we ramp back into it or something?
Right.
Like, I can't clock in and out like that.
Giving me whiplash here.
Right.
You're giving me gossip whiplash. And so they're like finishing up the float. They try to like move the float somewhere. It like scrapes up the pavement and they're like, oh my God, we're in Beverly Hills and we ruined the pavement.
This pavement's really expensive because it's Beverly Hills pavement.
It's like, what? Okay. And then everyone leaves and Ken's like, I guess I'll do it.
Lisa's like, sort this out. I'm leaving.
She has like a little hat and walks away.
Hop to it, Ken. All right. So boof. Sheena is back in the motherfucking stew, everybody.
Yeah, she is. Sheena time. And she is making a new single.
Oh my God. I was so excited to see that we are finally cooking this one up because I can't. I like, it's actually taken everything in me not to just sing Good as Gold every single time we're on the mic.
No, I know.
It is such an important song that we're witnessing the initial stages of.
Yep.
Understand you're watching Herstory in the making.
Yep. This is Herstory.
Oh my God.
This is Diva Herstory.
No, literally.
And she's there, and also Russell, the CEO of the studio, is there, which I'm like, what is that title? You just own the studio?
Right, you own the recording.
Don't call yourself the CEO
right.
of this studio.
It's not like a label. It's literally just like a space that people can rent out to record things.
That's me calling my apartment. I'm the CEO of my apartment.
I'm the CEO of this studio.
This studio.
That's so funny.
And Sheena in a confessional is like, listen, I've never had any vocal training. I can't play anything past Yankee Doodle on the piano, but I was a cheerleader up until college. And a cheerleader has the same job as a pop star. You need to make sure everyone in the audience is engaged at all times.
Also, I love the like choice of words there in saying I was a cheerleader up until college. So high school.
In high school then.
I was a cheerleader in high school.
In high school, I was a cheerleader.
Choosing to say the word college instead almost tricks the brain into thinking it's like
through
in your 20s. Like it's like, okay, we're looking at towards 22 then.
Right. Right.
And Sheena's like, what, 27 at the time or something?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she's using her having been a high school cheerleader as proof that she has pop star material inside of her is honestly so funny.
I was a theater performer up until college.
I was in my town's production of Oklahoma my sophomore year of high school. So many have said that they could totally understand why I would someday maybe be on Broadway.
Definitely be a pop star. Sheena's belief that she will be a pop star is Jax's belief that he has cancer.
Right.
She's like, I will maybe, definitely, most likely, probably be a pop star on Broadway someday.
Totally. I do not have any vocal training and I really can't write or perform or do anything of the sort, but I just have this raw belief in myself that most likely I can and definitely will do this because one time I did a cartwheel. So what are we going to do about that, America?
Your move.
I'm just imagining the like cheerleader soundtracks. They're like, ready and go. All stars are here to take the crown. And there's like all these sound effects in the background. That's Sheena's like, we're going to bring this energy to the stew.
This is perfect. Wait, this is like where my creative juices finally flow. This is amazing. I'm like so obsessed with her, like her gumption. I want that.
Uh-huh.
I want so badly to be like, yeah, I was on the swim team my sophomore year of college. So I don't know. Probably the Olympics is in my future.
Hey, Logie, now I'm cracking up picturing like I low-key really want to hire someone to make like a cheerleader remix of Good as Gold.
Oh my God. I would love
like,
that.
I write into someone. I'm like, hey, I'm the head coach of a cheerleading team. We want to use this song for our routine this year. If you could just like
cheerleaderify
Good as Gold. It's like, it's like all these explosion and like gun sounds in the background. Pumpers are here to take the crown. I think it could be really good.
P-U-M-P-E-R-S.
Please. It actually would be so funny.
I think we just need to do that.
I need to
like
find
on your roof one day.
Totally. We record some
cheerleading routine just
and
the
then
two
we
of us.
Just get a bunch of sound effects together.
But we're both basses, so at some point we're both just like here as, oh, if, okay. we're holding somebody.
You're saying that after we get the music, we then choreograph a routine.
Yeah.
Okay, totally. I am there. I am there completely. Ken is our flyer.
Oh, Ken's our flyer.
We're basses. Pumpers are here, and Ken's up in the sky holding donut.
Donut's our flyer. We just launch a dog into the stratosphere.
Okay, no, this is good.
This is good. This is good. Something.
We'll get to work on that.
I know you guys said you wanted merch, but what if instead we made up a cheerleader choreography routine and donut was our flyer?
And we submitted ourselves to competitions.
Are you interested in
and
that?
And what if we got accepted and it was just the two of us at a cheerleading competition?
Two 30-year-olds at a cheerleading competition.
This is honestly fucked up.
I think it's
so funny.
I'm like, I don't think there's any sort of thing that a cheerleader does that I could do.
No, not at, but we're doing our own thing.
But we're doing our own thing.
And so is fucking Sheena.
So is she's blazing her own path.
She is. They are playing her some insane sample tracks. And Sheena cares about the one that is the most booty popping.
Yeah. So they're just like showing her different beats. And she's in the chair being like, okay, I could picture that one.
And then it cuts to her again. I'm so obsessed with her. Like, I know people hate on her so much.
No,
but
I
like
her.
This scene, when you leave Sheena to her own devices, I could watch her forever. I'm like, you say shit that I'm just like, yes,
for
what
sure.
is coming out of her mouth? Because she literally, another talking head goes, I love being the center of attention. When I have a spotlight on me, a microphone in my hand, and everyone's looking at me singing my song, it's the best feeling in the world. It's like, yes, she is kind of like Kelly Kapoor from The Office.
Yeah, she really is.
But like, real.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love her.
She is so...
I love my Sheen.
I love her just being like, yeah, I love being the center of attention. I love when everybody's looking at me. I love when they're praising
totally.
Me.
Totally.
It's awesome.
Which is honestly such a brave thing to say for someone that doesn't have many talents.
So little talents.
Like, that's so beautiful to be like, listen, I can't write. I can't sing. I can't really do anything, but I love when everybody's looking at me. Like, that's courage.
That's awesome.
That is raw courage on display.
Justice for the divas.
Come on.
Justice
for the divas that lack talent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Our talentless divas. Talent. Justice for you.
God love you, Sheen.
So they're kind of like landing. They finally land on a track that feels most booty popping to her. And the guy that she's talking to is like, all right, so like next step, like you got to figure out a message. Like, what do you want to say? What do you want to get out there? And Sheena's like, sex, fun, partying, drinking, basically just like having the time of our lives.
Yeah, so this was exactly what Charlie XCX said when she went in the studio to make Brat.
Sheena is Brat.
Sheena was Brat in 2013. He said, what's your message? What do you want to say to the world? She said, sex, partying, hot, drugs, alcohol, vibes are good, I'm here, center of attention, boof.
She's a genius.
History was made.
Herstory was made. Okay, so boof. The boys are at the Wellsbourne, okay? And it's Peter and Jax, and they roll up to their two buddies, Dave and Ben.
Who the fuck are these guys?
I don't know. I don't know if we've ever see them again.
I don't think we ever do.
And we kind of don't see them in this scene either.
They're not even in the, they're literally, they're like, we're going out with Dave and Ben. And then they immediately disappear, and we never see them ever
and
again.
And literally, it's like at the end of the scene, Peter and Jax are like, where did Dave and Ben go? And they're like, I don't know.
And I don't care. It's like, these were two guys they hired off Craigslist to be like, these are Jax Taylor's best friends that are not Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval.
Get a load of this. These are to Jax Taylor's like best single friends, so they can like publicly flirting with women.
Mm-hmm.
And Jax is like absolutely pumped to be out and about and talking to the girls.
He's like, I'm officially single.
Yeah.
Reader, please note, he's been single for a year at this point.
Yes.
He's just decided not to be, allegedly.
And he starts talking to some girl and he's like, yeah, I just went through a breakup. No, you didn't.
A year ago. You cheated on your girlfriend a year ago. And you broke up a year ago.
You know what, though? He is so every man in his 30s for that. Every man that I've met in their 30s within the past like year or so has been like, yeah, I just gone through a breakup. And I'm like, oh, when did that happen? They're like, a year ago.
Right.
And I'm like,
I just have some relationship trauma. And he's like, oh, okay, shit. Like, what happened? You're like, oh, well, my girlfriend broke up with me when I was 17. And I'm like, it's really still hard for me. Like, that is how Jax Taylor is.
Get over it.
I'm sure that's how he would be now, too.
Yeah. So Jax is so excited. He is talking about how this is like his preseason of hooking up with chicks. He's warming up to it.
Right.
He's getting back into the game slowly but surely.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much immediately he starts talking to this young woman named Dina, who's a ballerina. Dina the ballerina. Ballerina. And he starts kind of talking to her and flirting with her a little bit. And here's what I will say about like watching this all go down. That actually sends a shiver down my spine. It's like, you watch in real time Jax like turn it on.
Yes. Oh, he loves lying.
Yes.
And he's actually quite good at it.
And it's no surprise that this is the type of social situation where he thrives in, because he can just lie. It's a stranger.
He can say whatever he wants to this woman.
He can say anything, and you watch him do it and you're like, whoa, he is so good at that. To the point I was like, if I didn't know who this guy was and had like no context
totally
about him at all, and he was like giving me all this attention and was like being really sweet and flirting with me and whatever the entire night, I'd be like, oh, what a nice, fun guy.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Run.
Go away.
You have to get out of there.
Get out of there, Dina. Dina, run.
Temple run. She's like running, and I'm like, doof, doof, jump, slide under. Go, Dina, get out of there.
Get the coins. Get the coins, Dina. You'll run faster if you have the coins.
It's just her running down fucking streets of West Hollywood. I'm like, get Jack's out of there. Her.
Let me tell you about my breakup. It was scary to watch.
It was.
Because I was like, oh my God, you are like genuinely, you have this like mask that goes like shink, and all of a sudden it's on, and you are like cool, fun guy at the bar instead of the like mess, horrible psychopath that you are.
Yeah.
It was so scary. And of course, Dina's eating it up because it's like, whatever, you're meeting this like hot guy at a bar who's paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
They like kiss, blah, blah, blah. They end up leaving together. Peter also leaves with some like random woman. He's really excited about that, you can tell.
Right.
Trying
to convince us that Peter gets puss.
And I maintain that Peter in the earlier seasons is the hottest one.
Yeah, he is.
But unfortunately, he is so odd.
No game. Absolutely swagless.
He is rizzless and so odd.
Yeah, he really is.
He is so weird. And like weird specifically like to and about women. Not in like a creepy way, but I think just like you can just tell.
Just in a swagless way.
He's so swagless. He does not have any nothing.
No.
You know?
He doesn't know how to flirt.
Not at all. But they, whatever. The four of them walk off together and presumably all go have sex. Hooray. Okay, so boof. It's Pride Day.
Yeah. Ooh, there ain't no other way. Baby, I was born this way. Baby, I was born this way.
Black or white or gray or brown or anything from uptown. I don't know the lyrics.
What? What the fuck do you mean you don't know the lyrics?
I don't know the lyrics.
Oh.
She's like, you're black or white, or you're gay or straight, or you're up or down, or you're in between. I don't know.
What is happening?
She starts listing stuff that you could be at some point.
No, yes, she does. She does. I can't even, my brain can't compute that you don't know what those words are, though. Like, I'm just a little confused.
Listen, you love Lady Gaga, and I support you in that. I do. I couldn't tell you
Born
one.
This Way. One no, of her yeah. most popular songs. You don't know the lyrics.
I don't know the lyrics to Born This Way.
What the
I know the chorus. Fuck?
Hey, everybody look at me and look at Meg right now, and everybody point and go, boo.
I know the chorus. Well, your name is a shining and a no surprise.
Okay, it doesn't sound like you know the chorus or whatever the hell you just started
to
sing.
I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to survive. Ooh, there ain't no other way, baby.
That's crazy. I love how you also sang that in the Lisa Vanderpump accent as if Lady Gaga was British.
To me, she kind of is.
You're like, uptown, downtown, turn it around, sisters.
Like, what's happening? You're hot or cold, you're in or out, you're day or night, you're something else.
Okay, what do you sound like? Keep going, it's going
to
come to me.
You're lunch or dinner, you're sun or moon, you're in between, you're on the moon, and you're having on the moon, you're having on the moon. You're an astronaut, it's autumn is two, you're around the moon and you're behind the sun.
I literally have no idea. But okay, somebody comment though, because this is definitely similar to something else I've consumed before.
Do we think it's just Madonna doing Vogue? No. Right?
No,
because she's like,
I was hearing like
and it's in and you're on Vogue.
Who's the oh fuck, what's her name? Kristen Wiig. It's
oh yeah.
It sounds like some Kristen Wiig bit.
Oh.
But maybe I'm making this up, but in my head as I'm hearing that voice, my head's going, Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig for sure.
Is it Kristen Wiig as Liza Minnelli turning off a lamp?
You know what it might be? It might be.
Well, she's like, let me just fussy over here.
Yeah. You know what I think it is?
I was in my head like, where are we?
Yeah. Totally.
We started at Lady Gaga. We ended somewhere else completely.
Entirely on the moon.
I'm disturbed by what I've learned today. I'm going to choose to throw out that fact about you.
I know the chorus.
I'm forgetting I ever knew this about you. Don't worry about it. You have time to learn the lyrics before the next time this gets brought up.
Is there going
to
be a test?
Before the next Pride episode.
What?
You must know all the lyrics to Born This Way.
Okay, and I'll start the episode by reciting all the lyrics to Born This Way. I'll do a dramatic reading to Born This Way.
Yeah.
My mama told me when I was young, we were up on Superdome.
Yeah.
See? I know it.
Okay, that's the first lyric. That is literally the first lyric.
What
of the
more
song.
Could you want from me?
Okay, so we're at Pride.
We're at Pride.
We've made it to Pride. And the boys are being spray painted in pink Sir logos.
Yes.
The pink Sir car is on the float.
Mm-hmm.
All the girls are really in like white one piece bathing suits, except for Stassi, who has her special corseted outfit that Ken found her.
It's revealed that her job is to kind of be a girl in a giant martini glass.
Yeah.
Which she doesn't seem to like stand up and dance in for much of it at all. Because I also have to imagine that it's really hard to stand in that.
Totally. You just fall right on a moving vehicle.
Right. So she just kind of sits in the glass.
Yeah.
Day,
sure.
Which is fine in this like big sparkly outfit. That's okay. And yeah, Stassi is like putting on the hat. Lisa immediately wants it and takes it and tries to put it on. And then she's like, no, I'm joking. Here you go. Gives it back. Okay. And everybody's getting ready. Tom and Ariana like briefly connect and are chatting just like about the day and like their little dumb outfits that they have on. And it cuts to a confessional of Tom being like, I'm actually kind of glad that Kristen's not here because when it comes to the whole like rumors about me and Ariana thing, she's kind of a ticking time bomb. And he's like, but I'm going to play it cool today and I'm going to keep my distance, which is a really weird thing to say about someone that you're friends with.
Yeah. For sure.
Why would you need to keep, why would there be any need to keep your distance if there isn't something weird going on?
He's so silly. He also keeps saying, so fierce.
Yeah. Which again, this just grinds my fucking gears. It's like, just say so fierce.
Just say so fierce.
Just be like, that's so fierce. I love that. But he's like, so fierce.
Shut up, Tom Sandoval.
Shut up, Tom.
Shut up, Tom Challenge. When will you win?
Level impossible.
I hope you win soon.
We are waiting for the day for you to win the Shut Up Tom Challenge. Okay. And Katie and Stassi are talking about how they have to listen to Sheena's song all day and that it's going to loop 44 times at least.
Mm-hmm.
And Stassi says that's like 44 donkey kicks to the ears, which is very funny.
She's like, I'm literally going to kill myself.
Yep.
In this martini glass.
Jax puts on his wings and he once again is like so stressed about how gay they look.
Also, can't stress enough, this is the only time he'll ever be associated with angel wings in all his life. So he should really be eating it up. This is his one opportunity to be an angel.
He will never get this chance again.
And he's blowing it. He's literally blowing it.
Yep. And so everybody's like getting ready, whatever. Jax, Tom, and Peter are all sneaking one singular beer before getting on this float. They each have a beer and they're like, and they're drinking the beer. And it's like, what is that going to do?
Right.
You're not going to get drunk from this beer. If anything, mm-hmm. it'll just make you feel like kind of lethargic before you go out into the hot, hot sun and stand on your feet for the next 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you drinking this beer? Whatever. Lisa comes up, finds them, is like, what the fuck are you guys doing? I thought you were better than this. Takes the beers.
which is very funny. There is a moment where Jax in a confessional is talking about like his discovery of gay people.
No, this one is so funny. So I'm like, what is he even saying?
He literally is like, he's once again just like saying nonsense where he's like, yeah, I like grew up in the Midwest. So like, I didn't really know about gay people until I like moved to LA, which first of all, I grew up in the Midwest and I knew about gay
like,
people.
I'm like so straight. I didn't even know about the whole gay thing.
Didn't even know that was like a thing. But like, there are a lot of gay people in the modeling industry.
Out in Michigan, it is straight, straight, straight. Only straight people in Michigan.
That's actually, and it's actually a rule in Michigan is that it's only straight people.
You have to be straight if you're in Michigan. Straight
if you're in Michigan.
So I like literally never even heard like whispers of being gay when I was in Michigan.
It's like, okay.
You guys are all so insecure about your sexuality. You have to be like, I literally like, I didn't even know about it.
I didn't even know. But he does end it by saying, he's like, but yeah, like I don't understand homophobia. Like, let him get married. Let him be as miserable as straight people.
This is crazy. You're crazy. We are all, everybody's saying crazy things today.
You're also just telling on yourself.
Right.
So you don't like women?
Right.
You don't want to get married to a woman then?
Right.
You think getting married to a woman will be miserable?
We're already doing I hate my wife jokes and you're not married. You're
single. You don't even have a wife.
You are totally, completely single and we're making I hate my wife jokes.
I hate my hypothetical Chungus wife.
Keeps going.
Okay, so the parade starts. Hooray. Everybody's on the one, there's like a group on one side of the float and another group on the other side. And on one side of the float, it's like Sheena and Ariana and like a couple other like dancers and servers at Sir who are doing the Girl I Wanna Be song over and over. And then on the other side, it's Stassi sitting in a big martini glass, Katie, Jax, Christina Kelly, and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much immediately, Jax starts talking about going on a date the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually unclear to me when I was watching this if the date that he was talking about was with Dina the ballerina or if it was about somebody else. Because at some point he's like, oh, the date wasn't even her. That was somebody else or something.
Oh.
But regardless.
Honestly, I thought he was just talking about the night out with Peter.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing. Regardless, the crux of it was that it is revealed that Jax slept with a 21-year-old ballerina named Dina the other night. And is like talking about it at length in front of Stassi.
Yeah.
And Stassi's getting like very understandably pissed.
Totally.
And Jessica's like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? I chased after you for a year and you don't even want. So now what? So now I can't go on dates with anyone ever again? And so she's like, no, it's not about that. It's about the fact that you are like flaunting this in front of me and being very disrespectful.
It's fully a respect thing. Like, yes. Do whatever you need to do and maybe don't talk about it in front of me.
Right. Right. And Jax is like, oh, well, now you're just being so, you're being so immature. Like you're just making like this is so you that you're just you're like totally punishing me for doing that. And Stassi's like, no, like that's not what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So already there is like a big argument happening, brewing on this float. They haven't even taken off yet, really. Then they start taking off. Ken at the wheel.
Totally. With Ken at the wheel, there's nothing we can't do.
We can do it all. And he's wearing a little hat, and he's the freaking worm in the apple again, baby.
Yeah.
Driving his little apple car, and he's like, beep, beep, let's go. Love it, okay? And so Stassi and Jax continue their argument, and Sheen starts, like, serving up front. She is eating down.
The girl I wanna be. That's what I like.
Like you said, really just clawing against that track.
Yeah.
Just every moment that her voice actually goes through the mic, you go, oh.
Oh, what's that there?
Oh, what is that noise? Okay, and Stassi is getting, once again, really, really pissed at Jax. And Jax is like, if you're upset and you say that you're over me, then like, why are you even that upset? And he's like, he's so stupid.
Bozo hours.
He's literally so bozo. And Stassi is like, it's a basic etiquette thing. Like, this is, you just don't talk about this shit in front of me. And Lisa tries to calm everyone down and is like, this is about gay pride. It's not about your petty drama, like whatever. And basically Stassi is in hell and Sheena is living her dream. And it's honestly really funny because it's like Sheena's in heaven on one side of the float, Stassi's in hell on the other side of the float. And it's like that scene in 21 Jump Street where they both are tripping and Channing Tatum's having like an amazing time and Jonah Hill is like getting like clawed at by demons. Uh-huh. That's what's happening to Stassi and Sheena in that moment. Mm-hmm. And Stassi basically is like, if nothing else was accomplished today, I now believe in the power of autotune.
Right. And Stassi really went full cunt mode on Jax by the end.
Yeah.
She's like, you're disgusting. Yep. Literally no one wants you here. Get to the other side of the float with the B team losers.
Yep.
Because you're such a fucking bozo. No one even wants to hear you speak or look at your ugly face. Like, she's just like ripping insults.
Yeah.
Every mean thing she can think of, she says out loud to Jax Taylor, and he deserves it.
He deserves every single word flung his way. Okay. So, boof. It's later that day, and we're at Sir. Everyone is clocking into their shift, and it's fucking packed. Specifically, it's packed at the bar, and Jax and Tom Sandoval are working at the bar, and Tom notes that on Pride, he said, these people show up and don't eat anything. So for Katie and Stassi, it's like an 8-hour break.
Awesome.
Cool. And Katie and Stassi are chilling in Sir Alley.
Which, to be honest, wouldn't you chill in the back of Sir Alley if you just had to endure fighting with your ex-boyfriend
Absolutely.
To the tune of What I Like 44 times over? Like, I actually can't even fathom being put in that situation. You're fighting with your cheating ex-boyfriend while you hear Sheena say, the girl I wanna be. Like, I would pay so much money to have just been a passerby on the street watching this float go past me.
And it's like the context too. It's like, remove any of the actual people. The context is, you're in a tight, tight corset in a giant martini glass on a truck that is moving 3 miles an hour.
Also, like, literally, Stassi can't go anywhere. She's stuck in the martini glass.
You have your ex-boyfriend yapping in your ear about some 21-year-old he fucked 3 days ago and how actually you're being a bitch for saying that he's mean for bringing that up. And on the other side is your biggest op singing a song that she cannot sing and doesn't seem interested in learning to sing, and it is blasting on
Can
a loop.
Can you freak, bitch?
Blasting on a loop 44 times in a row. That is hell.
Let her have a break in Sir Alley.
Give Stassi a break.
Stassi's literally worked the hardest today. The hardest. Tom Sandoval can't even imagine what Stassi's going through right now.
Tom Sandoval, like, he... No.
Make the fucking margarita, dude.
Make the pump fucking teeny and get to work.
I've had enough.
Jesus. And so Katie and Stassi are kind of chilling out there. And Kristen, who has been working at Sir all morning, is finally cut. And so she joins Stassi and Katie in Sir Alley and pretty much immediately brings up Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
And Stassi and Katie are both like, maybe you just got to go talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is clearly eating at you. You're obviously like really stressed about this. And like, and Stassi's like, you're going to confront her. And Kristen's like, well, after the text I saw last night.
Kristen.
Girl.
Kristen went through Tom's phone last night and she found some texts between him and Ariana that she didn't love.
Yep.
The texts that Kristen saw said, Ariana, I just want it to be Coachella again. Tom, yeah, me too about Coachella. Ariana, we'll just have our own in my yard with a boombox.
And as Kristen says, really? What the fuck am I supposed to think?
Like, it's so funny because I, like, 15% understand her. Like, I'm like, okay.
Right.
They're friends.
Right.
And it's, like, friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that this exchange is the most concerning thing you could have read.
Here's the thing. in the context of all that we know mm-hmm. about the Vanderpump world and what happens in this timeline, I am more inclined to give Kristen grace.
Mm-hmm.
This specifically is so insane.
Right.
For Kristen to read that exchange and be like,
so I knew it all along.
The proof was right under right. my nose.
I just think she could have read anything and she would have been like, see, and I told you guys, he literally had sex with her. They literally have been fucking this whole time. I miss Coachella. Me too.
Me too.
We can have our own Coachella in my backyard. Okay.
So what am I supposed to even think about that?
Okay. And later on in the scene, you see like, I think Tom or Kristen is like holding up the phone and I paused it to look at the text messages.
Mm-hmm.
He responds to her saying we can do it in my backyard, but being like, oh, you have a yard? Like it is literally the dumbest conversation ever. It's like really, it gets even dumber when you see more. Like it's not like he responded to me like, oh, that'd be so fun. We should get drinks. He'd be like, yeah. Oh, you have a yard? Like it was like the least flirty thing I've ever read.
Yeah, it's like, it's so crazy because like we've actually seen them on screen be flirtier than right. that. And Kristen, it is so funny that Kristen has selected the least flirtatious exchange of all. And been
I knew
like,
it all along.
Do you see what I'm seeing? Read between the lines.
Oh, we're going to, with a boombox? We all saw that movie with the boombox.
Coachella?
In the backyard?
What does Coachella have in its words? Hell. And that's what Tom and Ari are putting me through by doing this.
Totally. It was all code words for something else. Boombox?
Boom?
Box?
Box? What is box a word for other than vagina?
Exactly. Boom in the box?
Yeah.
In my backyard? Are you guys kidding me right now?
So you're having anal?
So we're doing regular sex and anal sex at the same time.
You're kidding me. You're
we
kidding
really
me.
Are in Coachella.
Coach
hell
coach like the class in an airplane that's behind first. I'm the first girlfriend and your coach behind coming up behind me to sleep with Tom, my boyfriend, in the ass?
Fuck! I knew it! And you guys thought you could lie to me and you fucking couldn't because I got it and I'm on the case and you losers and bitches thought that I wouldn't know, but I do!
Oh my god. So Katie is still here like, why don't you go talk to her?
Hey, why don't you just go talk this one out?
She's like, you know what? I will.
Fine. And she's also like notably wearing this like very cutesy little like flower. Which is so funny because she is like crashing out. And she walks up to Ariana, who it's also so funny because she is like, she's off from work now. So she's just like sitting around stewing. Ariana and Tom are both like very much so in like the middle and heights of their shifts.
Right.
So they are like working so hard and Kristen wants to have these like really intense conversations with the both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks up to Ariana and is like, all right, girl, let's chat. And Ariana's like,
okay,
what's up? And she goes, be straight. Have you ever hooked up with my boyfriend?
Ariana immediately is like, no,
no,
nope. Never kissed, never hooked up, never nothing.
Yep.
And she's very calm about the whole thing.
Yeah. And Kristen, it cuts to a confessional of her and she's like, Ariana's reaction is weird. Why isn't she being defensive at all? Why is she so cool, calm, and collected? It's almost like she wants me to believe that they never hooked up.
Like, I just love that
her mind is doing tricks in this. They are doing wheelies and 360s in her mind to like make this be that Tom and Ariana have hooked up.
She's laser focused.
Yes.
But you know what? Maybe she just has a sixth sense.
Maybe it's just women's intuition.
Like maybe it all of it can be sort of made up, but she just knows in her bones.
Yep. And the thing is that it all kind of comes back to the fact that Tom cheated on her in Vegas.
Yeah.
And she basically starts saying to Ariana, like, ever since I learned that he cheated on me in Vegas, like, I have been very insecure about this relationship, which is also, like, this is a crazy thing to, like, don't say this out loud.
Right.
She's like, I am really fucking insecure about this relationship. I, like, everything, like, this shit sucks. We were together 5 years. And then he goes and fucks some chick in Vegas in a hotel room in the shower with no condom on. Awesome, Tom. Thank you. And she's saying all of this to Ariana, and Ariana is just looking at her like kind of shocked and disgusted.
Yeah. And
like,
Kristen starts crying.
Yes.
And it's like, I can appreciate that Kristen is being like truly pretty vulnerable and honest.
Yeah.
And in some ways it reads as her trying to make Ariana understand why she keeps asking about this or why she's harping on it. It's not necessarily right. because of Ariana. It's because of something else that's happening. And she just like, woman to woman, can you understand
yes.
why I'm like so insecure and just need reassurance from you
yeah.
that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I can like appreciate the vulnerability there. And also it's like a little misplaced since she doesn't know Ariana like that.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of work.
Yeah.
It's like time and place. Really.
Time and place. And you did it at my birthday dinner.
No, literally.
And so Ariana is basically like, yeah, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we haven't hooked up, whatever. And it cuts to a confessional of her. And she's like, I actually think that all these rumors were started by Kristen. Mm-hmm. I think that 3 years ago she got insecure and she started talking shit about me. And now it's wound its way through all of the little like rumor mill of Sir. And it's made her way back to her. And now she believes this thing that she herself started a few years ago.
Which honestly, not a bad theory.
It isn't a bad theory. I think it honestly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And Kristen's like, okay, well, I'm going to go. And she's like so visibly distraught. And Ariana's so unbothered. And she's like, okay.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so.
Okay. So boof. We're back out at Sir Alley. Jax comes out to the alley and is on his phone. Katie and Stassi tried to talk to him. And he's like, I'm on my break. I don't want to talk.
They like immediately start rage baiting him. Yeah. They're like, Jax. He's like, I'm on my break. I don't want to speak. They're like, go take your break somewhere else then yeah. if you don't want to talk to us.
They're like, why Jax? Are you over here?
Stassi's like, you're such a bad person.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, did you ever watch, what was that show? Awkward?
Yes.
You remember that girl that was
yes.
like, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
That's like yes. the energy that Stassi and Katie are bringing to him. They're like, you're such a bad person. Yeah. Aw, look at him crying over there with no friends. Oh, you're sitting in this alley with absolutely no friends. Look around him. He's literally nobody. Who are you even texting? There's nobody responding to you. Loser.
And then Jax like kind of walks over where he's like sitting in the door, like the exit to Sir Alley, so that like the girls can't physically see him, but he's still only like 20 feet away.
He's like, if they can't see me, they can't talk to me. He's literally right next to them though.
And Stassi, there's like a quick talking head about how Stassi is basically like, Jax texts me all the time saying that he loves me and wants to be with me and wants to date me. So it really just makes me laugh that he is like talking about fucking this girl when all the texts that I get every single day that I never respond to are about how much he like misses me and wants mm-hmm. to be with me. And she's like, but somehow I'm the bad guy.
Also, that very same morning, he had texted her being like, well, it's been 1 year since we broke up.
It is so crazy.
So sad. It's been 1 year since the most perfect couple said sayonara. It's like, what are we doing? He sends that in the morning. Then he shows up to Gay Pride and she's sitting in a martini glass. And he's like, so did anyone hear I had sex with a 21-year-old a couple days ago? And she's like, I hate this loser.
Yeah, no, literally. It's just like all that context just makes her behavior make so much more sense.
Totally.
Like, I would do the same fucking shit if I'm getting these texts like this Jekyll and Hyde bullshit where he's yeah. like, he's like, well, I love you and I miss you. We certainly wish we were together. And then 2 hours later, he's in front of my face being like, yeah, I totally raw dogged this chick the other night. What? You're totally mad?
I fucked this ballerina. She was having me plie, pot de bourrée, and I was doing all of it and she loved it.
Oh, so now you're mad that I'm talking about that? You're insecure. What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Okay. So, boof.
a brief cut to just Sir Gay Pride and the fact that Ken is very relaxed in the gay crowd.
Yeah, come on. I knew I liked that guy. I
love him. And it's just quick clips of him going up to different gay people being like, come on. And then like that's the entire clip. Okay, so Boof, we're still at Sir. It's still Gay Pride. Kristen is done having her conversation with Ariana, and now she wants to have her conversation with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes over to the main bar.
Honestly, she's kind of a queen for this tactic. Like, it's pretty funny.
It's kind of brilliant, but like so scary.
It's like sinister, but in a brilliant way.
Yes.
Kristen goes up to the bar that Tom is working at. She looks at him in the midst of like this huge crowd. It's very busy. She says, "Ariana told me everything. Come talk now." Which is amazing because, as we know, Ariana said nothing at all. But Kristen is basically just trying to bait him into thinking that she knows everything, and now she has to admit to it. Which, honestly, you'd think would work because Sandoval's got to be, like, so stupid.
Right. But if there's one thing these guys are going to do, it's lie, even when they are confronted face to face with the truth.
Right.
Like, someone could be telling them to their face, I know exactly what happened and here's what happened and it is the truth. And they're mm-hmm. like, that didn't happen.
Right.
They're gaslighting themselves, yeah. Honestly. It's impressive to watch.
So Kristen and Tom walk outside mm-hmm. and Kristen is still trying to bait him. Like, is there anything you want to tell me? He's consistently going, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And she shows him screenshots of his texts with Ariana, the same Coachella texts that she brought up with Ariana.
Yeah.
And it cuts to a Tom confessional where he's like, I don't get upset when Kristen goes through my phone because this is just the world I live in. Then my bitch chungus girlfriend who goes through my phone, like, I'm not even mad about it because these are just the terms and conditions that I signed up for.
Why do people do this to themselves?
This is like,
you could just live a life where that doesn't happen.
You can break up.
You can break up. Why are you together?
Please.
Please break up if you hate your chungus girlfriend or your chungus boyfriend or your chungus partner. Break up.
Break up.
What's going on? What's happening? And Tom is basically like, because Kristen is like, oh, I had been texting you all that night and you texted her at 2:08 and I had texted you at 1:50.
And you didn't respond to me, but you did respond to her. Like, you were on your phone and you were texting Ariana, but I was also on the phone trying to text you and you weren't responding to me, but you were responding to her. Like, she's getting real
in the weeds. In the weeds. And Kristen's like, how would you feel if you read that between me and another guy? And Tom's like, I would feel fine about it. And she's like, then you and I aren't supposed to be in the same relationship with each other.
We are in the wrong relationship then.
Mm-hmm. And Tom is like, you're searching. Like, you're searching for stuff. You're searching for reasons to be mad at me. And she's like, fuck yeah, I'm searching. When I search is when I find stuff. It's how I found out about you fucking that girl in Vegas.
This is where it goes back to.
This is what it all kind of comes back down to. And she's kind of going on and on about how ever since she found out that Tom slept with another woman in Vegas, she has felt incredibly insecure. She doesn't want to do things without Tom. She doesn't want Tom to do things without her. Mm-hmm. She just feels like he is constantly lying to her and she doesn't trust him because she knows that he has lied to her in the past. So how can she trust anything that he says now?
Yeah.
And Tom's takeaway from all this is so interesting. Because his comment is, why are we talking about this in the middle of fucking WeHo if you're not trying to make me look bad? And once again, the thing that Tom is most upset about is looking bad on camera.
Right. It's not the fact that you cheated. It's about other people knowing that you cheated.
Yep.
And your girlfriend publicly talking about it.
Yep.
For the umpteenth time.
Yep.
Maybe don't cheat then.
Oh, maybe don't be a bad person.
If you don't want people to talk, don't give them something to talk about.
Yeah. Let's give them something to talk about.
What about cheating?
It's
basically the surf slogan.
That's literally the jingle. That is the theme song. Fuck yeah. Dina Dudley. Get her out of here.
Let us do the new intro song, please.
And that's the end of season 2, episode 6.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just glad we're getting into the good as gold of it all.
Oh my God, this is a perfect era. It's a perfect era that we're in. Season 2, there is something about season 2 that is just magic to me.
And as I'm watching this, I'm also like starting to sniff James Kennedy. Like I can smell him coming.
Oh my God.
I'm like, hold on.
He's on the wind.
I think he's near.
Winds in the east. There's a mist coming in.
I'm not kidding. I Googled. I was like, when does James Kennedy like officially start on Vanderpump? Yeah. Because I think he's near.
When is it?
It's season 3, but he does have a cameo in season 2.
Excellent.
He's just like a part of the staff, not a part of the cast in season 2.
Perfect.
So if you look in the background, maybe you'll see him.
James.
You're walking in the woods.
Dunna.
God, I can't freaking wait.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for following us on socials. We've been, honestly, our slips. I'm like, that sounds a little okay.
Yeah.
Our clips have been slaying. Yes. So thank you guys for following our socials and helping us promote the show. Mm-hmm. Now that we can do that.
If you haven't followed us yet, please do at Pumpcast Rules on both TikTok and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow me at Maddie Drospec.
And you can follow me at Meg Ruoco.
And we will see you guys in next week's episode.
Bye.